Hallelujah. Oh, how good it is to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so excited about today, and I'm going to ask Dr. Mila if you could make your way, and I'm going to grab this microphone for you. I believe she has a word for us. Amen. Now, before you say anything, I'm just going to brag on you and your husband. You two have touched thousands of lives. You have changed culture in many families. You have taken your business and given it to the Lord. And you have allowed God to do so many things through you and your amazing husband. And I'm so thrilled to be a part of your life and watch what God is doing. And he's going to continue. I'm seeing a new move of the Holy Spirit and people that I've known for quite a long time. God is so good. So the platform's yours, and just share with the congregation.
Thank you.
Amen.
You know, for many mornings, you can sit down. You can sit down.
Sure, okay.
You know, many mornings, the Lord has been waking me for almost 4 weeks. And in the First Samuel chapter 7, and the Lord told me to write it down. And last Sunday, when we were worshiping, the Lord said, this is now the time for that message. So I wrote it down, Pastor, and I want to read it.
Oh, absolutely.
I know how to use my computer now. The visitation of his presence, the outpouring of his glory is now invading the nations. The widespread reverential fear of his sovereignty is now infiltrating the atmosphere. A huge thunderclap exploding, lightning in his hands hitting the target. Confusion in the enemy's camp, panic of mass confusion, the enemy is scattered and removed. Evil takeover has been thwarted and the enemy has been served. No more crossing boundary lines. The land and the cities that has been taken and controlled will be restored, and peace will infiltrate your neighboring borders. The true repentance about coming back to God is now activated. To the repentant, open your secret places, clean your house, your minds, and your lifestyle. Get rid of the gods and goddesses, the hidden sin of perversion, the images in the secret places of your hearts. Ground yourself firmly in God and worship him alone, and exclusive attention and service to him. And you participate with what God is doing. Freedom from oppression, stronghold will be broken, and the opposition against you shall be no more. A call for a holy assembly, and draw water from the wells and prepare for revival. Visit the watchtowers and stand on the walls of intercession and pray fervently. In fasting and prayer and repentance, prepare for the holy war. My Esther, my bride, my church, come boldly and confidently, touch the scepter and ask me for nations, for your family, and for your wholeness. Partner with me, declare the decree, the promise in my word. Godly leadership will rise and be established in homes, in government in the next 2 decades, and it has already begun. The church will influence and infiltrate nations and generations to come. So mark this day, your place, this place is a place where God has helped us, heard us, a place where he touched with his presence and his glory. The power and the might that is going to infiltrate these nations is not going to be the armies of nations, but it is going to be my children filled by my spirit. So you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am not an experience. I'm not a language. I'm not a denomination. I am God. And I am living inside of you. I am the power that hovers over your chaos. And I am going to bring peace and order. And when before you ask the diagnosis of the world, what's wrong with your health, ask me, consult me. I am your creator, your great physician. I am going to cleanse this temple. I am going to strengthen this temple, and I'm going to make you whole so you can participate with what I am doing, because this war has just begun.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, we all have to stand and come in agreement with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For those that are new watching online, Sister Mila is called of God, functions in the ministry, the prophetic word, and in many other areas of ministry of the church. She literally is a marketplace person, as many of you are, who are walking in an anointing of a call in your life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is manifesting. As we've been proclaiming to you, many people are trying to figure out if it's the end of the end times. I'm proclaiming to you it's the beginning of end times, where the Holy Spirit, did you hear this? Is pouring out His Spirit all over all flesh. We're going to see the move of God in our cities. We're going to see the move of God in our nation. We're going to see the Abrahamic Accord. You're going to see nations that are going to be joining. We're going to see Jesus Christ lifted up. We're going to see the peace of God manifest. And we're going to see order in the way that God has set it apart. And so let's pray right now. In Jesus' name, we open up our hearts to all of this. In Jesus' name, all the vocabulary that is straight from the pit of hell, we rebuke that now. We come against fear. We come against doubt. We come against deception. And we say, yea and amen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we will see our families, our homes, our children, our children's children rise up, and not only call the parents blessed, but we will see them rise up and walk in the anointing of their call. And this world will be transformed because of the youngest generation that is moving in this move, this beginning stage. And we just allow that to happen in our church. And we say, yay and amen. We come against pride. We come against anything, religious spirit, that would want to doubt and to bring a deception amongst the people. And we release it now, and we proclaim to all leaders of our cities, in Jesus' name, Jesus Christ is Lord of your city. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you as you are seated. Oh, wow. Thank you, worship team. How awesome you are. So led of the Lord. We have been in a series called I Am Free. And we have learned quite a bit. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to detail some things this week and next week. We have found the different doors we leave open to the enemy to come in and to bring havoc in our houses, our homes, in our businesses, in our relationships, our marriages. But we've also discovered how much God loves us, and He's given us the ability to close those doors and to give us an understanding of what it really means to be free. I need to brag on yesterday, men's ministries, well done, guys that lead that. And I want to say to you, we have the greatest men. I mean, just, I laugh a lot. We get into serious stuff. We talk about sports. But you know what? We talk about Jesus. And we just had a great time yesterday. For all you men that missed that, it was awesome. We had one of the best barbecues we've had, and it was just good food, good fellowship, just an amazing time. Israel Alacio, thank you for leading the great group that leads that. So, men, I just want to say well done, and it's a joy to hang out with you. Now, please hear my compassion towards you today. I'm going to say some things that can be strong, but I'm also going to be very compassionate because I recognize what I'm going to be talking about as we've all gone through. And probably, if I had a guesstimate, I'd say 60% of us are still going through what I'm going to be talking about. But I want to tell you there's an answer to this. Because many of you have been hurt, and some of you are still carrying the pain that was caused by others. But I'm also going to say to you that our God, Jesus Christ, can take that all away, that hurt. But I want you to hear this simple statement. If you let him take it away. The world has tried to develop a culture to always be offended, always be angry at somebody. And I want to say, we don't live in the culture of the world. We are of it, but we don't live in it. I hope you understand what I just said there. It is not us. It's not our identity. Our identity is Jesus Christ. And even though we are of the world, even though we live here, our world, our culture, everything we are about is the culture of the kingdom of God. And today you can be delivered from this hurt that will open yourself up to the joy of the Lord that brings such revelation of this beginning of the end times where the joy of the Lord will overwhelm you. This happens because we understand the spiritual demonic influence that is here and that we have a choice to either choose to live in that, to allow that to deceive us, or to live in a cultural lifestyle of the kingdom of God. And even though this stuff does take place in your life, you can defeat it, and you can shut the door to the enemy and begin to walk in victory, and your marriage and every aspect of your life will begin to grow and become new. The last two messages in this series, I'm going to focus on two things. First of all, emotional healing. Getting rid of that emotion that has devastated you and has in many cases caused you to make decisions or back away from God's blessing. And then next week we'll talk about, we've talked about these before in other avenues. We're going to talk about deliverance. We're going to talk about how you can be delivered and totally free from the culture of the world moving your life, creating disruption in your children and your grandchildren. In Luke 4, very interesting what took place here, and it shook the whole city. Verse 16 says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, I want you to understand, it was a scroll that he opened up. It wasn't the Bible like we have. But, you know, I was wondering, if Jesus was looking up a scripture, how long would it take for him to get there? You know, some of us, you're still looking for the book of Luke. Let me give you a hint. If you get a tablet, you can just click Luke, and it's going to pop up to you. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And bottom line is because as we were fixed on Dr. Mila, they were fixed on Jesus because this was a messianic prophecy. And so what he said was this in verse 21, and then he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus was saying, I am the Messiah. I am he. Now, you know, all the religious people went nuts about that. But I'm trying to tell you today, in being free, Jesus is here. He's already completed the work of the cross. And what he proclaimed here was the fulfillment of the gospel, what the gospel does for us, the healing power and the deliverance of our salvation, of what you have if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm not talking about that you attend Valley. Attending Valley doesn't get you saved. It will help you understand salvation. But church or religion doesn't get you saved. It is knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and believing in your heart that he is, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then you will be saved. And then all that Jesus proclaimed that it was fulfilled in him can manifest in your life. This passage is amazing because it tells us the five foundational ministries of Jesus. What every person has the ability to receive. Let me show you those. First of all, salvation. Two phrases that relate to salvation are, preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He's basically saying, now is the time to receive your salvation. And I'm saying to you, now is the time to understand your salvation. And if you haven't received it, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And then you can begin to walk in the freedom of what the gospel brings. The second here that it shows us about foundational ministry of Jesus is spirit baptism. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So every person needs to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Every person needs to understand and relate to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. The third foundational ministry here is healing, the recovery of sight to the blind. So many people are so fixed on medicine, they don't understand that Jesus Christ is the healer. And they base their healing or health on medicine. Now, the Bible tells us that laughter does good like medicine. So medicine's good. We as a church, we believe. If the doctor prescribes medicine, great. But that's not your healer. Jesus Christ is your healer. And we have to understand that most of us do. But I want to tell you, we have to be fixed on that and move forward. If we want to walk in the totality of freedom in our lives, we need to begin to base our faith on Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth, deliverance. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And then the fifth, as I'm going to talk about today, is emotional healing. It talks about to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. In the King James, it actually says to set at liberty them that are bruised. Very interesting. And so we're going to talk about these two things, broken hearts. I'm not going to jump into a country song. We're going to talk about broken hearts and bruises. The things that I believe, just a guesstimate of being a pastor for 46 years, that about 60% of the congregation is always walking around with broken hearts and bruises. And we can be delivered from that. I didn't say delivered from people doing wrong things or saying wrong things, but I'm saying being delivered from the broken heart, being delivered from the bruise that you are walking around with that hurts. Because some of you are hurting. You love Jesus with all your heart. You worship and you're excited because of the worship. And we're led greatly in our worship and you're excited, but then you go home and you're still bruised. You go home and the broken heart is directing your emotions and your feelings and the way you relate to your spouse, the way you relate to many things, because you're broken, not the spiritual brokenness where we submit to God, but you're broken emotionally. In the Greek, the words broken heart are two words put together. The first word is santribo, means broken. This means to break into pieces or to shatter, kind of like if I threw a glass on the floor or on the cement, it would shatter. That's what it's describing, that some of you are shattered and you're up one day, you're down the next. And I get that. We've all been there. We've all had those emotions and those feelings. Like throwing that glass down is shattered. The second word is cardia. It means heart. This is where we get the word cardiac. So he is saying a heart that has been broken in pieces or been shattered. That he heals the heart that's been shattered. That people have said things to you that have broken you. And you do everything in your life to try to stray away from your emotion, but the emotion is always there. And Jesus says, I have come to heal that. Have you ever had a broken heart? You better say yes, because everyone has. Has your heart been shattered? It's awful, isn't it? You wake up thinking about it. You go to bed thinking about it. You eat potato chips and cream cheese because your emotions are so overwhelmed. You just got to do something. You're eating. That's my favorite snack. But there's someone that can heal you of that. Jesus can put every piece back together. Can you imagine a shattered glass? He can put every piece back together. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to allow those emotions to rule you, or sometimes you get up on Sunday morning and you can't go to church because you feel like you're a fake. Because you're a child of God and you're supposed to, you know, be of faith and all this stuff. But because you're shattered and you don't want to face that, and then someone's close to you in church who loves you, who cares for you, wants to come to you and hug you. How you doing? And then you just break apart. So you don't go to church because you don't want to face that. Now I'm going to deal, remember we've been talking about strongholds. So I'm going to deal with this stronghold. And there are many strongholds out there that we have discussed, but I'm just going to deal with the two. One, stronghold that comes in with a broken heart most of the time, and the other stronghold that comes in with a bruise. So we're going to do that the next couple weeks. There are two strongholds. When our heart becomes broken, it is a stronghold of rejection that takes place in our lives. If you look at it, if you look at the basis of why you feel the way you do, because you feel like someone doesn't understand or they said something and there's rejection that you feel in your life. Your heart becomes broken over relationships, a friendship, or even a loss of a friendship, or even a loss when there's a death. And we reject God because we feel God wasn't there when we needed God. So our heart becomes broken and our heart becomes shattered. And then rejection comes in. But I'm going to describe to you what God said about rejection. And I'm going to show you that it's something we were all born with. When rejection comes in, what happens? So we're going to talk theologically too. We are actually born rejected from God because of the sin nature. So there's already in the spirit realm a rejection because of sin nature. We were born in sin. And so that already is in the realm of every person's life. But a holy God cannot have relationship with us unless the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our sin and we receive that atonement. Because of that, we are easily rejected in life. And we easily reject. Until we understand the theological doctrine that we've been adopted into the family of God. That we haven't been rejected, but because of Jesus, we've been accepted. And there are a lot of Christians who are living their life not feeling accepted by God, not feeling accepted by the church, not feeling, you know, they're walking around in a reality of everywhere you go, you're not good enough. And God even says this. He says, there's none good except God. And so we're all in the same boat. But what God does because of Jesus, we have been perfected in our lives. And in that perfection, the total acceptance of God, the love of God, is poured out over us. But because we don't understand that theologically, we struggle in our rejection. We try everything we can to be accepted, and it's never good enough. But when we understand Jesus Christ is Lord, what he's done for us, total turnaround can take place. And you can have freedom from this rejection. See, much of what happens to us as we are growing up fosters this word of rejection. Let's look at some scriptures now. Let's just look, because it's not just my opinion, it's what scripture tells us. In Numbers 14:34, it says, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. Talking about Israel, that they went in, spied out the land, they came back, 10 of the spies said, we can't do it. The giants are too big. They rejected God. And the two said, yes, we can do it. But it says all of Israel began to weep and mourn. And the Lord said, because you have rejected me, you will know my rejection. You will feel that because you were created in the image and likeness of God for you to be a part of me and feel totally accepted, totally real in life. That's who you and I are. God says, because you rejected me, you will know my rejection. Now, is that mean? Is that cruel? No, he's saying, because you rejected me, you will not know my pure love towards you and how much I have accepted you. When you understand this, you can look in that mirror and you can look at it and say, I've been accepted by God. And because of that, I can do everything. I can walk in this life with joy in my life because I know that I am loved by God. And because of that, you begin to know the love of God, and then you begin to love everyone else, even those that reject you, even those that say the things that hurt you. I've always asked the Lord, especially when I do funerals, God, let me feel what people feel. Because I don't want to get up there and just be this guy, and the word says, and then leave. And they're just destroyed because they just lost someone they loved. So not all the time, but most of the time, I fight back tears because I'm feeling the emotions that the people are feeling. And I said that to say this to you. Is when you know the love of God, you begin to see people differently. And I'm going to say this, even though sometimes they act like a jerk, you begin to see people differently because you walk in that love. You don't feel rejected. You're not set up because when we're born with rejection and when we reject the things of God, we begin to believe and get hurt by other people, and so we reject others. But when you accept what God has done for you in your salvation, you now begin to walk in such a purity of love for people that they can even say, okay, I'll say it, stupid things. And you have love for them. But the principle of all this is not that you're just that good Christian. You attend church. You read the Bible. You pray. No, it's because what God says, I love you so much, I want to fix your shattering. I love you so much, I want you to be able to stand there when the enemy comes in like a flood. I'll raise up a standard. But because you accept me and who I am, then when they do that, it's not going to destroy you. Amen. See, some of you right now have really received that revelation and that stuff that's just been the thorn and just all that junk that's been in your thinking and your personality, all of a sudden you felt that release. That's the healing power of God. Look what happens. Because you rejected me, you will know my rejection. Hosea 8:3 says, Israel has rejected the good and the enemy will pursue him. We've been talking about strongholds and bondage. That's that open door. God says, you rejected my way. You now have opened the door to the enemy. So let me show you, under a broken heart, there are seven strongholds that come from the root of rejection. Okay? So I know a lot of notes today. But you can watch this over and over. You can listen to it, a podcast. And you need to understand that these things happen. How about anger? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Sometimes people tick you off. But what do you do with it? How do you receive it? Do you walk in rejection and hurt? People have outbursts of anger. People have rage in them, have a spirit of rejection. I taught on this about 8 years ago. Many times they can't control that anger. In the Bible, 1 Samuel 15, Saul in the Bible, look what happens to him. Verse 26. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And 1 Samuel 19, 9 and 10 tells us Saul's reaction, and then what the Lord did. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat in the house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but David slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall, so David fled and escaped that night. See, Saul rejected God, and when God rejected Saul, the kingdom principle, he's rejecting the love and the compassion and the acceptance of God. And because of that, in the kingdom principle, what happens is then we open the door to the enemy to come in. And when it says that God did this, God already set up this principle. That's why as God did this, God set up the principle, but we don't have to have that principle take place because we don't reject God. We accept God. We know God. When people do things, we go to the Lord. God, you know, that hurt. But I know you said in your word, and you begin to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit where it will not destroy you or shatter you or bring you emotional distress. So Saul rejected God. Saul opened the door, and an evil spirit came on him, and an uncontrollable anger and rage took place. So much that he tried to murder someone. Don't get fearful. I love the songs we sang. I love what Pastor Dan said today about fear. But those who have anger like this are in bondage of a demonic influence. The second stronghold, insecurity. These are people who constantly need attention. They are people who are concerned about where they sit in a meeting. To be recognized. I used this illustration before, but I used to be on a lot of boards and different things for our organization. And when you come in, you know, you got the president, the vice president, you have the general supervisor, you know, all that. And you know, you just see it. You walk in, and I always stand over in the corner, and I'm just talking to people and hanging out, drinking coffee or eating a snack or whatever. And then you always see the people that come in, you know, they're, where's the president sitting? So they make a beeline to sit next to them and different things. And they always want to talk to them. I mean, you know, sometimes when people in leadership, they have so much going on. You know, a lot of times I would just say, good morning, bless you. And I'd sit down, be a part of it. And, you know, if we pass or whatever, I'd talk. But the reality is I know they're busy. And I'm here to assist them. And there are people that always want to sit. And what it is, it's insecurity. Now, when I lead meetings, sometimes I'll compliment, you know, but people that are insecure, like today when I complimented Sister Mila, someone over here says, well, Pastor, what about me? Aren't you going to share how good I am? Okay, let me just help everybody. I love everybody. Right? Right? You know, that insecurity that, you know, I always got to be there. Let me tell you, that's a spirit. We need to be free from that. Now, I know the next 3 weeks, I'll walk down the sidewalk and everybody will just go somewhere and not be around me. Come, talk to me, you know. I'm insecure. No, just kidding. Here's the third, pride. People who portray they have it all together. Pride. You've seen, you know, the people that they're just this social butterfly and running around and talking to everybody, laughing, and all of a sudden they get a position and they come in. Pride. Independence. It's a person who says, I can make it on my own. I don't need anyone. It's difficult. They won't listen to anybody's counsel. Their way or the highway. They have developed an independence because of the spirit of rejection. How about this? Easily offended. They take comments very personal. You can't joke with them. There are people that I know, don't look at yourself, but there are people that I know that I won't joke with them. And I like to joke. You have to tread on thin ice. Now, we've talked about a bruise, and we'll touch on that later, but a bruise is an inward bleeding. But notice about a bruise, the bruising, the darkness can go away, but the capillaries are still injured, and if you just touch them, they can bleed again. Someone has said something in the past that has wounded you, but someone bumps into you with the same kind of thing, and you get angry, and they don't even know what they said that caused you to be angry. But here's the good news. Jesus can heal you. Here's number six. Excessive shyness or loneliness. In other words, we're not talking about a personality, but we're talking about something that's excessive, that is ruled by a spirit. The seventh is control or manipulation. Every person that's controlling or manipulates has a spirit of rejection. I see it all the time, especially in leaders. I see it all the time. I know we have political leaders in our church. It's not you. Not you, Gloria and Sheila. But they're in bondage because they have to control the situation. It's because of a spirit of rejection. They control how people respond. They don't want anybody around that is indifferent of them. So it really boils down to this, that I'm going to give you to what Jesus does to heal. It really boils down to this. You have been, or you are so hurt because you have been rejected in the past, that you want to control them so they don't control your future. People manipulate by turning the situation around on you. People that cry all the time. I'm not talking about the emotion of crying. I'm talking a spirit where they're crying all the time to manipulate people. So when you're talking to them, they're not really listening to what you're saying. They want to get the conversation back to what they want you to be saying or believing. And so when I lead, a lot of times I'll bring a lot of stuff around and I'll try to get people to talk about it, but a lot of people won't talk about it because they're waiting for the point to talk about their thing. And the reality is, this is a broken heart. You can be healed from that. So let's talk about second bruises. I could have put, because of Scripture, Jesus heals broken hearts and Jesus also heals bruises. King James Version again says, set at liberty that for them that are bruised. Again, it's an inward bleeding. But Luke 4:18 says to set at liberty or to set free those that are bruised. Or those that have bruises. So what this shows me, to set at liberty to those that are bruised, that a bruise can bring you into bondage. Because if it's setting in liberty to those that are bruised, then someone's bruised is in bondage. Follow the thought here with Scripture? So let's go on. I know when I teach on these emotional things, everybody's real quiet. You know, matter of fact, it's kind of fun when I see you couples go like, you listening to this? The word bruise means crushed. Same as a broken heart. Have you ever been crushed by something? Loss of a marriage? Loss of a relationship? A loss of a business? Loss of a family member? It's crushed you. Now, I'm trying not to be insensitive, because let me just tell you, every one of us in this house and everyone watching online, every one of us has faced this. Something happened that crushed you. And it's an inner crushing. What happens is, watch this, unforgiveness comes in. It's where something happens. And whether it's a person or God, you are crushed. And the emotion that is in you is, I can't forgive that. You're not really saying, I can't forgive. What you're saying is, I'm crushed and I don't know what to do. And how we react to that is unforgiveness. Matthew 18. I don't have time to read the whole story, but they asked Jesus, how often should I forgive my brother? And Jesus answered, 70 times 7. By the way, let me just pause here, because the Holy Spirit has been just nailing me for 3 weeks. Is this area of bruising can cause you to miss the great move of the Holy Spirit. This move of God that's going to overwhelm your marriage, overwhelm your business, overwhelm your church, overwhelm every aspect of your life. If we allow a bruising, if we allow unforgiveness to rule our lives, we will miss a lot of what God is wanting to do in our personal lives. And as your pastor, I love you. I believe in you. And I just want you to rise up. And this is not a, oh, I've been so bad. Father, forgive me, for I know not what I do. No. That's not what we're doing here. What I'm doing is telling you that we all face this in this world. And we all face spiritual attacks to get us to the place where we walk in rejection and we walk in unforgiveness. Then Jesus tells a story. He says, Jesus answered, 70 times 7 is how many times you forgive. Then Jesus tells a story of a certain man who owes, in today's day, $52 million. He went to his master and his master forgave him. Basically, spiritually, this is talking about salvation. So this is what this story is bringing out to us. When we really understand our salvation and we begin to walk in the power and the anointing of what Jesus did on the cross, and we understand the love of God so that we can love, we understand the forgiveness of God so we can forgive, and we don't reject, what happens? We'll walk in freedom. But if we don't understand this, even though we're born again, going to heaven, we are walking in bondage on this earth. And I want you to have everything that God has done for you. He's set it up. He's planned it. The purpose in your life is to do great things for the kingdom, but we need to be free. Amen? So it represents salvation. He's talking about the believer. Then the same person who was forgiven of $52 million went out to find someone who owed him $44. But he threw him in prison. So let's take up the story, Matthew 18, verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had the same compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" Look at the master's response. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Notice torturers, translated tormentors. Jesus tells the story, and in verse 35, he says something that a lot of people do not notice. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." The Father doesn't torture, but same as Israel, rejection, they feel the rejection of God, the non-blessing of God because of their rejection of God. He's saying if we don't forgive, we will feel the same torture in this story. Isn't that God's slapping you around? Because he's a loving God. But he said it in his kingdom how important forgiveness is. Now, there are people that I have forgiven, and unless the Holy Spirit says, go hang out with them, I'm not going to hang out with them because they're evil. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So right away, okay, then the devil says, well, then, you know, that person that molested you, that person that did this, that person that raped you, that person that stole from you, that person that murdered your whatever, you need to go and be friends. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But what we're talking about is the culture of the kingdom of God. What God says, I want you to be free. And in order for you to be free, you have to forgive. How do you do that? Next week we'll give you more of the deliverance of it. But how do you do that is you begin to understand that you haven't been rejected by God. You're born again. You're a child of God. He loves you. He's accepted you. Even all your peculiar stuff. I mean, even the Bible tells us we're a peculiar people. Right? And we have to understand the love of God. And when you understand that, then you receive God's love, acceptance, and you receive, watch this, his forgiveness. You didn't pay for it, Jesus did. He loved you so much, he had his son pay for it. So you can walk up to him. No matter where you've been, what's going on in your past, there's forgiveness for you. When you understand that, and about 60%, it's not scientific, of Christians today don't understand the fullness of forgiveness by God. They don't understand the salvation of the forgiveness of our sins, that you can walk in freedom. Oh, church. So the Heavenly Father turns him over to the torturers. Remember, an evil spirit came on Saul from the Lord, giving permission. Remember, Jesus said, my Heavenly Father will turn you over to the tormentors or torturers if you don't forgive. 1 Corinthians 5, a man was living in sin. Paul said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit might be saved. You see the same principle? So why would God ever do this? In the Old Testament, this happens over and over. When Israel rejected God, God would turn them over to the enemy. Why? So they would repent and come back to him. God wants us to say, I don't want to live this way anymore. See, deliverance does not take place until we repent. God is the judge. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, you can't resist the devil until you submit to God. Why is the enemy always after me? Did we submit to God? So there's another scripture regarding forgiveness where Satan takes advantage of us. By the way, the guy that Paul turned over to Satan, if you read in scripture, he repented. Then he had to write, hey, church, accept him back. Because they didn't understand forgiveness, so they can't forgive. And see, that's with the church. Now I want you to understand that there's many different things, like if someone has a sexual problem or whatever with children and all the different things, you know what? We will love people like that, but we will make sure they're in their right place. We'll protect the church. But we have to walk in forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, now you forgive him and receive him back. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Paul says, I'm forgiving him, you need to. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. See, the enemy is looking. Oh, the door's cracked open. Let me get in here. Let me get into your family situation. Let me get into your finances. Let me take care of this. And the enemy comes in and shatters you and bruises you. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. The word transform means masquerade. You know those parties where they have a fake mask? Satan pretends to be a good angel, but he's not. So the Holy Spirit is a comforter. Satan is a tormentor. God is a comforter. The demonic influence is a tormentor. We have a choice. And the choice is not based on how you feel about it. The choice is, this is what Scripture says. Amen? Amen. 46 years of ministry, there have been some people that are really, through the years, not here, really rude and crude and awful. Okay, I'm going to say it. I would, in my first initial emotion about it, would rather do than love them. Don't look at me that way because you feel the same way sometimes because we all face it, don't we? But we all, as believers, have the same Christ who sets us free. Amen? Let's all stand. So God wants to heal you. Amen. It's a choice. With our eyes wide open, how many of you want to be healed? Amen. Amen? How many of you know family members that need the same thing, that need to be healed? Okay? And I want you to understand is you have neighbors, family members, coworkers, that they're going through what you've gone through. But they don't know the truth like you know the truth. Be set free so you can help them find their freedom by showing them God. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim an anointing over this house, an anointing that changes absolute spiritual manifestations, that we walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh, that we live our lives based on the truth and not what we feel. But Father, in Jesus' name, after today, let the truth that was spoken bring our emotions and our feelings in line. Thank you, Father, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, you raise up a standard. And he has no control over our emotions. Lord, I proclaim that stubbornness is not a part of our lives. That we will rise up. We will rise up and understand the love of God. That no longer we are rejected. We are adopted in the family of God. And that we walk as sons and daughters of the Most High. Blessings upon every home represented here. Let today be one of the greatest days of our lives. And we give you honor for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Tonight, Bible study at 6 o'clock. Come and be a part of the family. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.